Our text today is found in the 18th chapter of Matthew, and it's a continuation in our series that we are doing called More Than a Story, where we're taking a look at some of the parables that Jesus spoke and taught to not only his disciples, but to the crowd. Matthew chapter 18, we just want to look at five verses. It's starting at verse number 10, reading down to verse number 14, and it reads as follows. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. People often say, I just want to know what God's will is. Well, there are many passages in the Scripture where the Bible makes it plain that God tells us what His will is and what His will is not. If we ever stray from the reason why Jesus came and His purpose for being born as a baby, living as a man, and dying on a cross, this parable reminds us why Jesus came. We're going to celebrate 200 years of the founding of Fall Creek Friends Meeting. That's all well and good, but if Jesus had not done what he had done on the cross, our celebrating would be in vain because it would just be an empty celebration of the passage of time. It's only because we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we've seen what he has done as far as blessing this church for 200 years, that what we're going to celebrate next month will even have any meaning. Our thought for you to think about today is simply one word, and that is the word lost. For those of you who watch TV, there is a show on TV that comes on Wednesday night, and it's called Lost. And basically, the plot line is there was a plane that was flying, and it crashed on this island, and just about everybody on this plane survived. And now it's the story of what's happened to them as they're on the island and the things they discover about themselves and who else is on the island. But the point is they have no idea where they are because they're lost. For those of you of my generation and a little older, there was a TV show in the 60s called Gilligan's Island. And it was about a ship called the SS Minnow who took a cruise and got caught up in a storm and wrecked on an island, and they were lost. In the 90s, there was a movie with an actor that is known to some of you, if not all of you, by the name of Tom Cruise, and he worked for FedEx, and he was flying, and he got caught in bad weather, and the plane crashed into the sea, and he... Thanks. You're paying attention. I've been told to inform you that it was not Tom Cruise, Freudian slip, but it was Tom Hanks. I'm glad you're paying attention. Which is kind of scary. But anyway, he washes up on an island, he has no idea where he's at, but he's cast away and he's lost. Those of you even older than I am remember a book called Robinson Crusoe about a man who is on a deserted island and what happens to him on the island. But the whole point is all of these people were lost. And when you think about this word lost, it conjures up all kinds of questions. And one of the questions is what does it mean to be lost? Can you be lost and not know you're lost? Can you be lost because you don't want to be found? And if you are not aware of the fact that you are lost, are you still lost? Now you can take that in the physical sense of somebody being someplace, or you can take it in the spiritual sense of somebody being someplace. And we're going to end up answering some of these questions when we look at this text today. Lost is an adjective that is used to modify nouns or describe nouns. And there are several definitions of the word lost, because you can be lost in all kinds of ways. And I want to share some of those with you. Lost. It means that it's something that you have parted with. It means it's not to be found. It could be something that is no longer held or possessed. This is my third night since I've worked at the park, and the reason why this is night number three is because I have lost the other two. One of them I lost in Washington, D.C. because they took it from me because I wasn't allowed to take a weapon in the building, and the other is because I dropped the other one in the lake. So it can be something that is an item that is lost. To be lost can be something that you forfeit, as in, you didn't show up to play the football game Friday night, so you lost because the game was forfeited. It could be a game of chance or a game of skill where you're trying to win a prize, and because you weren't skillful enough in the game, you weren't able to hit all the targets or knock over the milk bottles, therefore you lost your money and the prize because you did not achieve the goal of... In the wars that we fight, we can go out to battle and lose the battle, which means we didn't overcome them, they overcame us. So we can lose a battle. It can be something that you don't... you lose the joy of. It could be something that you have joy in, and something happens to change the situation, and all of a sudden something that makes you happy, you no longer find any joy in, and you've lost your joy. It could be the case of money. I came home one time, and I told my grandmother that I thought I had some money in my pocket, and when I got home, I couldn't find it. And I guess I lost it. And she looked at me and she said, she was in her 90s at the time, she says, "Do you know how much money I've lost in my lifetime?" And I'm thinking, boy, I've got an ally here. She understands. "None," she said. So there was no sympathy in that corner. So I never talked about money or losing it with my grandmother in that sense again, because I wasn't getting any sympathy. I lost what sympathy I thought I might have had. Lost. Like I told you, it can be wrecked or drowned at sea. Loss means you can lose an attitude or a belief and become hardened in the sense that you are no longer sensitive to things. You can have a virtuous life where you have a reputation and go out and do something foolish or silly and lose your reputation, and you can lose your reputation to shame because, as they say, shame, shame, everybody knows your name. And, you know, people are looking at you when you walk by and buzzing about you as you go past. And you know that they're talking about you because you're the topic of conversation. And someone said, well, the good thing about when people talk about you is that means that, A, they're not talking about me. Because they're talking about me, they're probably not talking about you. Which is never a good thing to go by. But you, as you get older, and I can testify to this, you can lose some of your senses. You can lose your sense of taste, you can lose your sense of hearing, you can lose your sense of smell, you can lose your eyesight. You just can't do it like you used to, and sometimes you go and spend money to either replace it or fix it or add something on so you can see better or hear better or whatever, but you can lose your senses. There's all kinds of ways to be lost. You can be in this church in a crowd of people and be lost. Liz goes to one of the largest universities in the country. There are tens of thousands of people on campus at any given time, and you can be in a crowd. Yesterday, for some people who think it's exciting, was the start of the football season for college football, and people, thousands of them, were in the stands, but you can be in a crowd and be lost. You can take your child or your husband or your wife, and in the jostle and hustle and bustle of the crowd, you can get lost and separated, and even though you're in the crowd, you're still lost. You can be lost in the sense that you're not appreciated. People don't recognize your talents and abilities for what they are, so it feels like everything you've done is wasted. You know, I've been down there at Fall Creek for 40 years, and those people down there don't appreciate me any more now than the day I first showed up. I feel like everything I do is just a big waste of time. I've lost everything I've given because I don't think I've gotten anything out of it. And lastly, to be lost, well, next to last, it means you can be ruined financially, or you can be ruined physically, or you can be ruined morally. It means you can also be considered desperate. Those are adjectives for being lost. It means somebody who's desperate, somebody who's wasted, somebody who's hardened beyond sensibility. But last but not least, when it comes to God and you, are you lost? Lost. One of the things we find when we look at verses number 10 is it's talking about attitudes. Where do people get attitudes? A lot of times they're adopted from those that we know and love. They're adopted from those that we associate with. They're adopted from the experiences of life that we have. What's the goal of life? Well, for a normal person who has children, you want to raise your children to be good, law-abiding citizens who know the right thing, do the right thing, and as my mother used to say to me, don't embarrass her. So you want your children to be able to take care of themselves so that when you're dead and gone and in the grave, you know that they're not going to have to rob and steal to get by in life, that they've got a job or a profession or a career that allows them to take care of themselves. So when you're raising these people, you're giving them your values, and they pick up some of their attitudes from you. And those of you who are parents often are amazed, because you look at your children and you go, uh-oh, I've seen that attitude before, I've seen that temper before, I've seen people that talk and walk and act like me, and when I see them do it, it's not always a pretty thing. My mother used to say when she looked at me, I said, what's wrong? She says, well, I've noticed that you not only have a lot of my good traits, you also have a lot of my bad ones. So when you see somebody walking around acting like you, saying things that you say, it's not always a pretty picture. Our friends, peer group, people in a group, they take on the attitude and the mindset of the group. I mean, you can send your kid out of school and you can say, now put your dress on and, you know, act nice and act like a lady, where she's got her pants rolled up underneath her skirt, and as soon as she gets on the bus, off comes the skirt, down comes the hair, and all the things that you told her not to say and do, she's saying and doing. You know, they used to say that I don't drink and I don't chew and I don't run with girls who do. Well, nowadays, that's not always true. You can find one that'll chew. But anyway, the crowd that our children run with sometimes gives them their attitudes. The music that they listen to sometimes gives them their attitude. And what he's saying here is, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their fathers do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. He's simply saying this, is we should never look down on anybody. We didn't come from a broken home. We didn't come from a single family home. We had food on the table, clothes on our back. We had parents that raised us and taught us and trained us. We've got a job. We've got money. We've got a car. We've gotten married. We've got children. We've got a nice house. We've got all those things that we say are important, and I'm not saying they're not. They're good things to have. But if we've got those and come across people who don't have what we have, one of the things that Jesus is wanting to say is we should never look down on anybody, no matter who they are. Just because we've got health and money today doesn't mean we're going to have health and money tomorrow. And the way we look and treat and think about other people says a lot about where we are with God. Because if we're looking down on people, and what was going on was is that they were bringing little children to Jesus, and his disciples were saying, Get them kids out of here. Jesus doesn't have time for kids. And Jesus is saying, you know, suffer not the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. He says, you know, in order to have faith in me, it takes a childlike faith, which is a sincere, open, trusting faith. And he's saying, you know, so whatever it is, don't look down on people. Then he goes on to say why he came. The Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Everybody that's in here that's saved can say amen and thank you, Jesus, and hallelujah. Everybody that's in here that has been in the church and knows the teachings of Christ and knows the tenets of the faith and knows how to walk the walk and talk the talk because God is able, God is good, and God will do everything to fail and lie, that's great. But we don't have to look too far to see people that we know that are even in our own family, that are in our neighbors, that live in our neighborhood. They're not here. And why is it they're not here? They're not here for a lot of reasons. Some of them because they're lost. Well, what do you mean they're lost? It means that if they should die today, they are without hope in Christ in terms of gaining eternal life in heaven. Now, if they die without Christ, they will spend eternity somewhere. And the question is where will they spend it? They will spend it in hell. You're not going to like everybody you run across in life for whatever reason. But even if the worst person you meet that's done the worst thing, I'll give you an example. Two people in Cincinnati, foster parents, had a kid that was put into their custody. And you know the story. First they said the child was lost. Now we find out the child is dead. And now you find out the horrible thing is that the parents, the foster parents, killed the child. That causes a lot of anger and outrage in people's hearts and minds when they think about what that little boy had to go through. And then they turn their attention to the parents. And there are people who say they need to hang, they need to be shot, you need to put them in the closet for 2 days, wrap them up in the blanket, tape them up, stick it in there with 100 degrees and see how they like it. You need to do to them what they did to... And my point is what does God say about that man and that woman? God says, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And I don't know what you define lost as being, but I would say that that man and that woman were about as lost as you can get. We talked about in our Sunday school lesson today about valuing life, what the promise and the principles that God gave to Noah when he came out of the flood. And that is to value life, because the Bible teaches that we are all image bearers for God. We're created in this image. Some of it is a flawed, it's a marred image, and some of it's more flawed and marred than in other lives. But you know what? None of us can, as we say in verse 10, look down on the people who were the foster parents, thinking that we're better than they are, because the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned, and unless you find Jesus Christ, you're going to be lost. So those people are a classic example of somebody that needs God's love, God's grace, and God's mercy desperately, because what's in their life is showing up, and it's not a good thing. For he says, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them are gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and go into the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? One of the things that has to do with this lesson is being concerned about others. Being curious about people and being concerned about people are not the same thing. If I want to know what's going on in Charlie's house, not because I want to help Charlie, not because I want to do anything for Charlie, just because I just want to know what's going on in Charlie's house, not that it's going to make any difference in my life, and my knowing or not knowing is not going to change anything, I don't need to know that. But if I know that Charlie is lost and going to hell, yes, I should be concerned about Charlie and what goes on in his house. So I'm not curious, I'm concerned. And what he's saying here is there are all kinds of sheep out there that should be in here, but they're not because they wandered off. Which goes back to the questions I ask you. What does it mean to be lost? How does a person get lost? Have you ever been lost? It is a classic known fact that if a man and a woman are driving down the road, going to a destination, and the man is driving, and he does not know where he's going, he will not stop and ask. You can tell your husband, honey, why don't you just stop up here at the gas station and ask them how to get there? I know where I'm going. I don't need to ask. 15, 20 minutes go by, you know, and all of a sudden he's saying, I think I know where we are. And you're going, well, yes, because we were here 15 minutes ago. So, it's a classic known fact that men, as a group, will not stop and ask. Because there's something about us that says, I know what's going on. I'm in control. I'm the man. So, you know, is it possible to be lost and not know you're lost? Sure it is. Is it possible to be lost and not want to admit that you're lost? Sure it is. Is it possible to be lost and not want to be found? Sure it is. Because you would run away from something that if people found you, you would be held accountable for. So sometimes people are lost by choice because it's easier to be undiscovered than it is to be discovered. But his point is that there are 99 sheep who are doing what they're supposed to do, and that's great. But there's one that's out there, and the thing is, this lesson is not just told in the Gospel of Matthew, it's also told in the Gospel of Luke. And it says that when the shepherd goes out and finds the sheep, but you know, you've got to be able to find a sheep, you've got to think like a sheep. 6 weeks ago, there was a guy named John Parsons, who at one time was in the Ross County Correctional Facility, and John, because of his cleverness, managed to get out of the correctional facility, and you know the news that they spent at least a week for him looking in the woods because they said he's in there. Now, he didn't think he was lost. They thought he was lost because they were trying to find him. And he's just like that sheep, he wandered away. People wander away for all kinds of reasons. And that's why the Bible says that we are like sheep, because we have that mentality. Short attention span, doesn't take much to distract us. You know, we're just chasing rabbits, or just going on how we feel, or what we think, or what we believe, and all of a sudden, you know, as I told my nephew when we were in Washington, D.C., I told you this story before, I told him, it was him, my niece, and me, I said, we're a group, we got to stay together, this is an international city, it's a large city, it's a dangerous place, people can hurt you and kill you, you don't want to get separated. Does he listen? No. My niece and I are walking along and looking for my nephew, and he's back there, starry-eyed, big-eyed, just sort of drifting aimlessly along. So I put it to him like this. I said, look, out in the wild, it's always the stragglers that get cut off from the herd. He says, what does that mean? I said, well, when you're out with the buffalo, and, you know, you're just bebopping along at your own little pace instead of keeping up with the group, the mountain lion comes and snatches you off, and everybody's like, where did he go? He's gone because he got cut off from the herd. He's somebody's dinner. And my point is yes, when you're straggling, you can get in trouble. There is safety in numbers. So Jesus says, you know, this sheep has gone astray. He's wandering around. He's doing something he's not supposed to be doing, but he's doing what he wants to do. But sometimes what we want to do, as you well know, any of those who have lived life, what we want to do can sometimes be a dangerous thing. What we want to do can sometimes put us in a situation where we could lose life or limb. And we can be in a situation where if somebody doesn't come and get us, we're in big trouble. So we see the compassion and love of the shepherd, that even when he was lost, he loved him. And how you know he loved him? He loved him because he didn't just talk about the fact that he was lost. He went out to find him. And what does that say to us? It's one thing for us to sit and say, we need to pray for all those who are lost and those who don't know the Lord. And we need to, you know, pray that God will save them. Well, that's one thing to pray, but sometimes the Bible says we should put feet to our prayers in the fact that we should have the shepherd's mindset, or the mind of Christ, that is, he went out seeking those who were lost to bring them back, we should also go out and bring them back. If you look at Luke chapter 15, it tells the story about the shepherd's response in a kind of a different way. It says that when he goes out and finds the sheep, he lays it on his shoulders, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, and he says to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. And it says that there's also the response in heaven over a person who doesn't know Christ coming to know Christ, because Jesus says this in verse number 7 of Luke 15, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. What is God's will in all of this? Jesus is simply saying this, that you guys are like sheep. And it's not God's will, the Father in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish, lost. One of the things that we learn as we close is that the lost are those who are doomed to misery in a future state. Two people can live side by side, one's a saint and one's a sinner. They can work in the same place, they can have a wife, they can have two kids, they can have the same job, but the point is one's saved and one's lost. And the idea is that when the judgment does come, the one who's lost is doomed to misery in a future state. Something for you to think about as we close is it says that the soul is an object of value which is not just lost, but which we actually lose in trying to save or secure our lives. And his point is simply this. If we spend our lives pursuing earthly pleasures, earthly goods, and earthly desires, that's not going to save us, because all we're doing is condemning ourselves to a life without Christ. And what Jesus is saying is that all of us are of great value to God, so much that whatever it takes for the shepherd to find us, he's willing to do. So my question is, do we have the mind of Christ that whatever it takes for us to do to save the one that is lonely, last, and lost, are we willing to do? And it should be more than just talking about it. It should be actually doing it, because that's one of the things we get from the story, is that the shepherd just didn't realize there was a problem. He did something about it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for reminding us what it means to be lost. And that means to live life without you. We thank you for reminding us that being lost means that there's a place called hell, that's prepared for the devil and the angels that you never intended for your children to go to. We thank you for reminding us of the fact that you told us that it is your will that all men would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we ask, Father, that people might understand, if they've never understood before, as they leave this place, that being in a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ means that we have committed our lives to Him, because we realize that we have a problem that only He can fix. And the problem is sin in our lives. We thank you that He was willing to pay the price and take our death, but that He got up with power on the first day of the week, getting victory over sin, death, and the grave. And because we believe that He did that for us, we too then can live. So Father, as we depart from this place, help us to have the lost on our mind and do whatever we can do, say whatever we can say, to win them to the Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen. Our hymn of closing is found on page 299. As we stand, I simply ask you this question. If you died today and you were going to spend eternity somewhere, where would it be? If you have not said yes to Christ or are not sure about your relationship to Him, after the service is over, come and talk to me, and we'll go over what it means to be a child of God.